Blog Talk Radio.
Magic, witchcraft, paganism. You're listening to Witch School Live.
Good afternoon, good morning, and good night for all of you, depending on where you're at in the world today. This is your host, Ed the Pagan, also known as Eddie Hubbard, and I have the wonderful task of being your host for the next hour. A little later on the show, we will be talking with Brendan Tripp, who has studied shamanism for many years, and also is an expert on virtual world and one of the forces behind the rebuilding of our site. I want to thank everybody for coming and listening to us today as we continue to improve and to attempt to penetrate the cyber world through radio. As you know, we already do it through Magic TV, which is our video site, and we've updated that site recently with a lot more pieces. Don has recently put up the illustration, and there's been from Salem, and there's been a lot of excitement about Magic TV and what it means to the community. It's one of the few things that we've done that has gotten a wide non-critical look at it, in the sense of that we have done a number of rituals for groups and things of that nature. And our philosophy, and the philosophy of the radio show too, is that we let people tell their own stories. And the pagan story is a great story, so it is one that needs to be told. And oftentimes, the reporter or the news deliverer gets in the way of the story. What I mean by this is bias. You know, they can't run a Halloween story without having spooky stories. They can't talk about witchcraft and Wicca for the modern day without talking about Harry Potter or Dorothy and the witch. So it is quite something to see that. But I'm not going to take that much time today. I'm going to get Brendan on the air here, and we're going to start the show as quick as anything, because the news today is kind of quiet. I think the worst thing I'm having today is that we're in the middle of a major storm. Good afternoon, Brendan.
Am I there, Ed?
You're there live.
Excellent. I was having a difficulty getting into the chat room because it wasn't. I was signing up, and my previous sign-up I wasn't able to get back in on, so I am not in the chat room.
Oh, okay. Well, as people know, I have people who watch the chat room for me, and sometimes they hand me notes, but the chat room and me talking doesn't always work. So.
I do have Eschatos sitting over at the headquarters in Second Life, however.
No, good. And well, it is interesting to be in multiple cyberspaces simultaneously, because not only so you have an icon. We'll talk about Second Life in a bit here. But you have Eschatos sitting in our headquarters in cyberspace called Second Life, and we're on for those who are not familiar with Second Life, can you give them a really quick, brief statement, because everybody calls it a video game.
Well, it has similarities to the multiplayer games like World of Warcraft, and it has similarities to The Sims. But there's no game to the game, and this is a lot of people who are into games don't like Second Life because there's no game in the game, even though you can find games in the games, because some people have set up rather extensive entertainment areas where you can do quests or have their areas where you can shoot everybody up. But generally speaking, it's more like an immersive first-person version of The Sims, where you're in an environment, you have an avatar which looks more or less like you. I've got friends who have little blue robots that are their avatars. I have friends that have amazing, busty Amazons that are their avatars, even if they're guys.
Well, the avatar has to be anything that you can create.
And however, Eschatos looks as closely as to how I look that I was able to get with the basic tools. I haven't invested in. You can go and buy a whole skin and face upgrade for people who are very clever at that, but I've I've never felt the need to have Eschatos being a absolute clone of myself.
Well, you know, and so in Witch School, and if Britain is behind the force of getting a headquarters for Witch School within that environment. To me, I always tell people it's like astral projecting in cyberspace. It's a version of you that you can interact with. You can see things. You can fly.
Yeah, and flying is one of the most popular things for when people first come in. It really is. It's something that you really have to experience it to get, I guess. For instance, the world headquarters for Second Life for Witch School is in a building that, if it was a real building on a real island with real beachfront, this would be a $6 million building. And we're paying a few bucks a month to be there. And it's just the ability, one of the things that a lot of people really like about Second Life is they are able to have, for very little money, these amazing living spaces, all this stuff,
mm-hmm.
and are able to live and interact in this thing through their avatar. And, of course, building up a circle of friends certainly helps. Eschatos gets very lonely when he's over at the building and nobody comes. But
well, I understand that. And let me go ahead and say, but you're an expert on multiple worlds. I mean, different levels of worlds. I mean,
I don't know about an expert, but I've certainly spent a lot of time the past couple of years. I've been doing this professionally, and
well, I'm just not talking about virtual worlds, because Brendan Tripp is also a man who's very experienced in shamanics.
Oh yes, that's true.
I don't
end up making that. It is interesting because I don't make that connection. When you're talking about multiple worlds in a shamanic sense and multiple mm-hmm. worlds in a digital sense,
yes,
it's interesting. They're compartmentalized in my head.
Okay, and see, that may be one reason why you can handle multiple realities.
True.
I met Brendan. Brendan is amongst my best friends, and I met him in 1993 at the first modern Parliament of World Religions in Chicago.
Yeah, the 100th anniversary of the one during the Columbian Exhibition.
And Brendan was doing two things. One, he was being very ambitious for a writing project he was involved with, and also a newsletter that was going around, which was sponsored by the people, which is Your Voice. And Brendan and I were meeting with that, and I was working as a assistant stage manager. So me and Brendan just hit it off, and we became very fast friends after that.
Well, you are going nuts. You are doing as many as 4 issues of that newsletter a day.
Yes.
I mean, the scale of that project is just mind-boggling to anybody who's done meeting. I also used to be a certified meeting professional in my previous existence as a PR executive. And the idea of publishing a newsletter 4 times a day for that sort of a crowd is just mind-boggling.
And it was, and then after that, me and Brendan found out we both were in Chicago, and we've become friends ever since.
And copies of those Your Voice newsletters are available through Witch School. We have cases and cases of them sitting around in their storage lockers.
That's true. We do have them. Give us a call on that.
That was the very first book that I published through my new publishing company. I was sort of transitioning at that point from being a public relations executive to running my own publishing company. And the Your Voice collection was actually the first thing that I put out that wasn't a book of my own poetry.
Yes, it was. And I was always very grateful for that. It's important. And it's an important document. I think over time, with the Parliament coming up again this year, the 5th one, now what we were a part of then has now become a historical and moving force in the world. But people don't really know Brendan Tripp. Brendan Tripp is a longtime involvement in Chicago Pagan. A lot of Chicago Pagan, the special leadership, know who he is, but not a lot of people have seen him. He's one of the more elusive beings in our community.
They don't like me anyway, so.
Oh, they love you. There are lots of people who love you, Brendan. And Brendan tends to be fairly mysterious. If you know Brendan, he is mysterious. He has a different set of opinions than most people.
Yeah, I used to describe myself as the pagan right wing of the Republican Party.
Yes, you have. And then,
even though I have discovered that this is not necessarily a unique stance on my own, but it is very difficult of being a rather conservative fellow with some rather conservative views, even though I have given up the Republican Party to join the Libertarians a number of years ago because, oh, Dan Quayle was just the last straw.
Okay.
It's been an isolating factor. But then again, with the most Republicans, the paganism stuff was an isolating factor. So there you go.
Right. And no, it was. And for anyone who wants to call in and ask any questions, it's 347-308-8222. Again, 347-308-8222. Give us a call. But one of the things, and you talk about being a pagan. Now, Brendan has been a big force through his company, has been helping us rebuild large parts of Witch School, and is really doing a lot of great things. One reason he gave us confidence to do the radio show has been some of the work that's done. But long before this, Brendan's point of view from, let me ask you, your point of view of paganism is from a very different point of view than most, which we're used to the Western Wicca that we face and the Western paganism we face in most of the community.
Well, yeah, I traveled a kind of a odd path.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we want to play shrink couch, it goes back to my father being a minister when I was very young, and I was on some aspects of PK, but my dad died when I was two, so I didn't have a lot of that as a direct influence.
Mm-hmm.
But grew up in the Episcopalian church. Of the, can we get through this to get to the Bloody Marys aspect of the Episcopalian Church? And then when I got to college, I was a religion major, kind of by default. I started out, did my freshman year at Northwestern,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of stumbled into it. I was all gung-ho about getting a lot of my requirements out of the way my first year, and so I ended up, for one of the more in between liberal arts things, had to take a certain number of classes in a certain number of areas, and one of them was in the religion department there, and I took death rites and funerary cults in the ancient Near East. And
what an odd thing to take.
And it was a junior level course, but it didn't have any prerequisites. And I just loved it. And I did very well. And I said, for an incoming freshman, I was getting a very good grade in it. And the professor and the department actually were thinking about having me do an acceleration and do my master's at the same time I'd be getting a BA in English or something. Unfortunately, at the same time,
mm-hmm.
I ended up in three quarters at Northwestern, I ended up taking five units in that same area, various and sundry parts of that, which is interesting. I just finished a book by Mortimer Wheeler on civilization of the Indus Valley and beyond, and Mohenjo-Daro and Harappa were the main areas that, were I have to become an archaeologist, that was where my excitement was to go dig up those 5,000-year-old cities.
Well,
however, at the same time, I had become involved with the Foundation Faith of the Millennium, which was a schismatic group from the Process Church of the Final Judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And it was becoming increasingly difficult for me to be at Northwestern because I was spending most of my time down at Wells Street at the Foundation headquarters. And I was pretty much handed an ultimatum by the family that I was going to go find another school. And
mm-hmm.
so I ended up transferring up to the frigid wastes of Appleton, Wisconsin, and finishing my schooling up at Lawrence University. However, the Foundation/Process was a remarkably influential part of my growing up. And I recently, another book I just read is Love, Sex, Fear, Death, which was a kind of a play on four of the famous Process magazines. by is a first real tell-all from the inside from one of the main folks. And that's out for, just came out last month from Feral House, and it's by Timothy Wiley. And if you want to find out about the process, that's a good, good, good place to start. Anyway, so here I had, you know, the PK stuff.
Most people don't know what the Process Church.
Oh, well, it was in the 1960s. I could talk about this for 3 hours.
I understand that, but just a small piece.
Okay. In London, in the very early 60s, a couple, Robert and Marianne de Grimston Moore, were involved in very early Scientology. And, however, they were students of Adler, and they wanted to have a more Adlerian approach to what Scientology was doing with the E-meter and the engrams and all of that sort of stuff. And, of course, Scientology doesn't like to have anybody messing with its stuff, so they got kicked out. And they formed their own version of a more Adlerian version of this called Compulsions Analysis. And it got to be very popular, and it then started making a kind of a side turn into religion. Most of the folks that were involved in it, they formed a thing called the Process Church of the Final Judgment and ran off to the Yucatan and had all sorts of strange times there. Just survived a hurricane that wiped out a whole lot of the Yucatan, and then went up to New Orleans first, had an amazingly successful chapter there. And one of the strange things about the process, as opposed to, say, Scientology, is whenever they got very successful, they figured they were doing something wrong. And so they were looking around and saying, you know, this is just coming too easily. We can't do this anymore. And so they closed down New Orleans, went back to London, and started over. A lot of the rock acts of the mid to late 60s were involved with them. The Stones album, Satanic Majesty's Request, was originally her Satanic Majesty's Request and was named for Marianne. On the cover of Sabotage by Black Sabbath, Miami is wearing a Unity Cross pin. And there was a lot of influence that most people just don't like to cede to the process.
And now you are down at Wells Street. You've just left Northwestern and founded the school because you were spending a great deal of time being.
And so now, at that point, to get me off of Wells Street, my family sent me up to Appleton, Wisconsin to do Lawrence University. And there I ended up triple majoring in religion, English, and art. And so a lot of my, this takes another step because I started studying Buddhism in school. And very soon after I graduated was the first Kala Chakra that the Dalai Lama had given outside of Tibet, China, and India, up in Madison, Wisconsin. And so I attended the first Kala Chakra and was involved in studying Vajrayana Buddhism for quite a while. I ended up taking the Kala Chakra 3 times and the Avalokiteshvara 2 times. And through this time, I was working in public relations as a vice president of a PR firm and was traveling a couple of times a year down to, like, the Yucatan and Mexico City and doing the whole Mayan cultural archaeological vacation deal. And
you passed up a point that I think is very interesting. You were studying all this paganism and religion and philosophy, and you were deeply into it, yet you were able to hold a vice president job in a PR firm?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, didn't they kind of think of you as odd? I mean, you hear about it all the time that pagans can't be successful, but there you were doing all of this.
Oh yeah, I mean,
and a vice president.
It didn't affect my work. Really? I mean, it affected where I went on vacations and stuff. But again, I wasn't working at that point. By the time I got out of school, the foundation had closed down all of its regional centers. Moved to New York City. Now, mind you, I was doing 2 or 3 trips out to New York a year just to go hang at a beautiful center of First Avenue and 43rd Street, I think.
Right.
Beautiful center, which they ended up selling and moving out to Utah, and currently they're the Best Friends Animal Sanctuary, which was a big secret for a while, but now they've completely outed themselves on that.
Mm-hmm.
But, one of the biggest animal, no-kill animal shelters, animal rescue projects is what was the process. They just recently had their, I believe it was their 25th anniversary, and they had all these videos, and I was seeing these people that I haven't seen in, 15, 20 years.
Right.
And some of them are looking mighty long in the tooth, but it was fun to see them.
Well,
some folks that I knew very well from Chicago and New York.
And from there you've gone on, so you've studied, and now you start a small, while working you start a small publishing company.
Right. I'd been publishing my poetry. I used to write quite a lot of poetry, and I'd been self-publishing it since I was in college. And I got to the point where I just wanted to give it another push. And so I started my own publishing company in early 93.
Mm-hmm.
Put out a couple of chapbooks of my poetry and sell it all. Did a big advertising push and a lot of, it was primarily in classifieds and stuff. And I sold one copy to somebody in Alaska. And I suddenly said, well, this poetry stuff isn't working for me, which is where I got the idea to be doing the more metaphysical stuff at the Parliament. Now, in between then, where I was going with the whole vacation thing,
mm-hmm.
I had always wanted to see Machu Picchu. And there was in, New Age Journal or something like that, an article called Vacations That Could Change Your Life. And this was being a trip being hosted by the New York Open Center to go down and study with shamans in Peru. And the only part of that that was really interested me is that it was going to Machu Picchu. And I figured studying with the shamans in Peru would cut down on, the blue-haired ladies and the folks that would have otherwise be going to Atlantic City or something.
Gotcha.
And I went off and did this, and it was the most amazing thing since the process for me. And I began studying with the students of the main teacher we worked with was Don Eduardo Caladron. There was a really good book about him called The Wizard of the Four Winds.
Right.
And out of this trip, it was being coordinated by the New York Open Center and hosted by a student of Don Eduardo's, Alberto Violdo, who was a psychologist, a PhD, and had written a book, a couple of books. One of them was Stanley Krippner called The Realms of Healing. And he was very interested in spiritual healing and shamanic healing. And he has since moved on to having the Four Winds Foundation and does a lot of work, especially now with the Quero from the high mountain areas in Peru.
Right.
And so I started working with Alberto and doing a whole lot of shamanic, and I end up having two lineages of the Quechuan through Don Eduardo, and then a Quero one through the group that was up here. I keep thinking it was a few years ago, but it's probably 15 at this point. They roll away from you like that. So, yeah, that's how I got my shamanic work.
And
so my own personal, my own personal path isn't like being part of a coven or being in a group. It's very, very solitary.
Mm-hmm.
And it is pulling in aspects of Peruvian shamanism. It's pulling in aspects of Vajrayana Buddhism, pulling in aspects of the whole Western mystical tradition.
Mm-hmm.
This very strange stuff coming out of the Process Foundation. And plus, I've read quite a lot
Well, you got so much in there, I can understand. Take a few minutes to get out.
Yeah. Sufism. There we go. Sufism. Read
right.
quite a lot of Sufism. And so my own personal path is this strange amalgam of all of these items. And so, again, when I get into a particularly Wiccan crowd,
mm-hmm.
Again, I'm sticking out like a sore thumb because I'm off on this own my own little corner of the universe there.
Well, and that's important to understand because a lot of people face that.
Right.
I mean, they get into these corners of groups and they think that all pagan groups are the same, that each person goes through their a similar path. And yours is quite one of the more interesting and convoluted that I've seen to reach this point. And you've got a very different set of perceptions. It's led you to be, you're very well known. Well, you're also been involved with the Church of All Worlds at one level or another, too, from very early on, if I understand right.
Well, I contacted Oberon back when I was just starting the publishing company, as I had run into a collection on the web of a number of his stories, a number of these little papers. And I really was quite taken with several of them and wanted to get his permission to do a collection of them. And he gave me that, and we came out with a chapbook that was called The Neo-Pagan Essence. And it was one of our more popular books, but it was pretty much just things from Oberon. And through that, I really didn't get much more involved. I was a member for a while, and but it was it was one of those things that came in. Of course, with the publishing, I had a lot of different elements come in from a whole bunch of different, because I was coming from a whole very eclectic basis. My publishing company, which was Eschaton Books, was equally eclectic. We had Kemetic Reconstructionists, we had Celtic Traditionalists, we had and sundry other angles at this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And so we weren't flogging a particular brand.
And you tried to get Phyllis Kurupt to do a book before she did her book for HarperCollins, too.
Well, that's true. Actually, just at the Parliament, she was around, and at that point she was very active as a lawyer and really didn't seem to have any interest in writing something, and this kind of blew me off on that, and I was interested several years later when she actually did do a book, very much like I was asking that she'd write.
And this is an example of, and as you're getting into publishing, you were also, and I, this is something I deeply am fascinated by, and one of the things I'm grateful to know you for, is that while there are a lot of pagan leaders out there, and there's a lot of pagan influencers out there, Brendan, for me, has been the key, one of the key elemental forces in the internet side of this thing. He was involved with the internet before it was the World Wide Web.
I was. I got more involved. Well, I was involved with the internet just in terms of.
Right.
I was on various chat boards and chat services. It's so hard to tell younger folks. God, I feel like a geezer saying that. Once they get off my lawn, to tell younger folks that the web hasn't been there forever. I started out in, it was called PLINK, American People Link, and it was based out of one of the Chicago suburbs. And it was basically just a bulletin board, you know, live back and forth. And that evolved into, I was involved in CompuServe, and then early days on AOL. And again, this is something that a lot of people don't appreciate, that the... you know, you think of AOL now, and it's like, oh, God, who would do that? And back then, it was the cutting edge.
Absolutely.
And that was when I first wrote my first web page, which was for Eschaton Books. Mm-hmm. And I saw the potential of there being the ability to have a reach somewhat similar to the big presses by being on the web. Now, back in 1995, there were none of these easy write-it-yourself guides. There were certainly none of these, plug your information into this template and you'll have a fancy website. You basically had to go through and look at other people's code and try to figure out what it was doing and cut and paste and create your own, which is what I did back in 95 and eventually had a site up for Eschaton. And
I remember
just
that.
Went on from there. I actually hadn't done a lot of that professionally until 2002, I went back to school for a year to take web development and business programming.
Right. And this is, so you've been a constant learner.
Oh, yeah. As
an adult, too. I mean.
I read 72 nonfiction books a year.
Well, you do? How many?
72. Actually, I've exceeded that each of the past 3 years. So I try to get through 3 nonfiction books a month. So I'm constantly learning.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, six nonfiction books a month.
So, and you've hit all of these sort of social webs, and you've been a big help to other people. You've been a help to us, to me personally. But from there, one of the things that I think people don't understand your influence or what you do is you were before blogging existed, you were a live journalist, which was
I've been on Live Journal now for over 9 years. I've been blogging for the better part of a decade.
When people were building GeoCities, you were helping people with their code, understanding how to build independent websites.
Yeah.
You advised me how to get our first lessons on telepathic media.
That's going back a while.
Yeah, and early graphics. And you've always been a big help for people who are getting on the net. And you're now into a lot more. And I think what I'm trying to say is that a lot of people don't realize just how much information you have about the Internet and how much you can teach them. But also that you're one of the leading people who can people turn to find out more about the net from the sort of the upper end people who do these sort of things. An example is Brendan. His Iris Eyes began, and I'm always grateful to Iris Eyes, Sherry Cooper for starting our name site. But we didn't think anything of it until I went into Brendan to talk about, and this is how we got involved with us this year. And it's been an amazing adventure. Well, Brendan brought me in to talk about we need a presence in Second Life. Brendan,
I had actually set up. I have an apartment for my avatar.
Right.
Over on Broadway Live, which is a nice friendly sim that doesn't have a lot of what is the word I'm looking for? Trauma.
Right.
Leave each other alone. People are fine there. I'm in a high-rise building there, and Escoteaux spends I think it may be $1 a week to be in there.
Right.
I had ended up getting another apartment in the same thing to do a sample information center for Wood School.
Right.
And set that up and devise some things and set up a lot of information and stuff, and I said, you know, this would be great if people would use it. Now, there were other groups in Second Life that people were having rituals and stuff, but man, they were over on the mainland, and I just couldn't face that. So I ended up having you come up so I could show you some of the possibilities, and that's when Anthony got a hold of you and said, hey, you know, we could do this whole thing for all your web stuff.
And that was the beginning of what has now become the reconstruction of Witch School, which has brought us back to here.
Yes.
And that's an example of what you've done a number of times on the web. When the new technologies come up, you've been very supportive, very quietly, of a lot of people who get on there. Authors, writers, you've helped. You know, not only did you help publish a lot of young authors with really quality materials, Candle Magic was a quality material. Future Ritual was quality material. And then
Circle of Stones. Erin's still selling that as a PDF on her site.
Right. And these sort of incredible sort of books. And people say they want quality, but sometimes that's not as true. We're finding out in reality.
Yeah. I was telling you this over the weekend. I went to this one pagan expo somewhere out in the suburbs, and it was a thing where you rented a hotel room and you ended up setting up your wares. And I had my books.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And we're talking. Our top price was $12.50 for something. I mean, we went everywhere from $5 to $12.50. Mm-hmm. Not major expenditures, and people up and down the hallway were selling the most, as I said, it was stuff that you would expect from at the end of the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. It's like, let's put some flashy, cheap junk on this thing, and it'll sell. And it was, you know, it's like, oh, let's get a, a goblet and put flashy cheap junk on it and sell it for $60. Those were selling.
But quality books weren't.
Yeah, I was sitting there saying I just needed to get a bag of rhinestones and a tube of glue. And do bling editions. But before there was bling.
Right. But even back then, one of the reasons why you left doing hard book, hard text printing to do more of the internet is that you saw that there's a movement coming that I think people will find fascinating, and that is one that Witch will start to take advantage of, and that is going to be on-demand books. And you saw electronic books. You saw on-demand books coming out.
Well, that is true. We actually, this came towards the end of Eschaton. We had been been struggling to get our books into the major chains. We were working with all the top wholesalers, so
right.
The trucks that backed up to the bookstores had the boxes from the places that had our books. But the major chains, they didn't want to deal with all these little accounts, even though they could have just plugged this information in and the books would have come from the same place where all their books come. And we ended up going with a full, quote unquote, a full service distributor,
right.
Which from our perspective was like another chunk of discount that we really didn't want to give up off of the cover price, but it would allow us to get into these places. And it ended up that the distributor that we ended up going, and we had to have been the easiest account because I was walking in with all the major wholesalers with our books there already.
Right.
All they had to do was pick up the phone and make the connection for us.
Right.
And it turned out to be a bit of a scam. It was. It's a long and ugly story. And they ended up in an involuntary bankruptcy. And what I had gone from, it was having five middling checks a month to what was going to be one fairly large check a month, and it actually ended up going from five middling checks a month to no checks a month. And when they ended up, fortunately, even on their cooked books, and some months we would get three or four versions of a total with mystery charges on them. But even on their cooked books, we were still being shown as them owing us money. So when they went into bankruptcy, I was at least able to retrieve the books. But at that point, I had to go into some serious debt to reprint enough to get their initial shipping orders because they were going to be getting us into the major chains. And I didn't have any money. I had all this debt, and I didn't have enough books to go back into the wholesale chain. So we kind of crawled along with just our own orders and orders through Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
But it eventually, where was I going with this thing?
Well, we were talking about quality books. We were talking about print-on-demand books.
Oh, that was print-on-demand, yeah. I had, during that phase, because I couldn't afford to go and order 5,000-10,000 copies, I was actively looking at print-on-demand. And at that point, the technology just wasn't quite there. I actually had a fellow that I'd met at one of the book expos, that was the younger brother of a guy I went to high school with, actually, who was trying to set up a thing that would have been at all the Kinko's, that where you'd be able to send in an order and that the file would go from some central server to a machine that would print it. He had these machines designed that would, you send the file to it,
right.
And it would print and bind the books and with the cover, the whole deal, and it would spit out a nice trade paperback on one end from whatever was being sent to it. However, it just, the systems, again, it was one of these cutting, bleeding edge things that today a lot of people are competing to have which system's going to be out there.
Right.
But it was something that just wasn't there yet.
And now there's services like, there's a number of services like
that. Oh, yeah. I mean, right now, as a matter of fact, I doubt I could start something like Eschaton today, because most of the authors that I had could just send their file over to Lulu and then have it available.
Okay. And that brings up a point why I'm so glad that you agreed to get involved with us. Brennan's always been involved with us. He's always been very supportive. He's always been a great advisor to me. But beyond there's stuff beyond that. Brendan now is a full time. For me, he's a full time consultant. He doesn't work full time for us, but seems like it some days.
Yeah, I mean there have been I've been putting in a lot of coding over the past couple of days. I am actually in the job market. So if anybody's looking for a top-notch communications guy with background in public relations and meeting planning and
absolutely.
Educational marketing and publishing and web and virtual worlds, I'm looking.
Absolutely. And Brendan and Anthony taking us on as one of the accounts, and they've been doing amazing things. What people don't understand, and maybe you can help me explain to it, why was it so important to make the changes that we did, the Ning site? Why do we want to be on Second Life? You know, why are we wanting to be involved in this sort of very crazy social media world when we were a very successful and continue to be a very successful school site?
Well,
why did we need that?
First and foremost,
mm-hmm.
you had, what, 36 different small websites with different bits and pieces of this out there, mainly with free hosting sites? And each one of those had ads that you were providing eyeballs to and weren't getting any benefit from aside from the free hosting.
Mm-hmm.
You had over 500 Yahoo groups that you were providing eyeballs to that wasn't producing anything for WITSchool. And one of the things that we were suggesting was bringing all the eyeballs into one place and have it being your traffic and not Yahoo's, not BraveNet's, not whoever else's.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was the first thing that we looked at and said, well, this is silly because you're not monetizing your strengths here. And
at that point, we're one of the largest sites. There's arguably there's a big sort of debate going on now, but we are one of the largest sites for paganism on the web. And you had mentioned Yahoo groups. One of the things you kept pointing out is that we were scattered. It wasn't just about eyeballs. It was about getting lines of communication as well, wasn't it?
Right. Well, because now if somebody is interested in a Cleveland group, they might also be interested in an Ohio group. They might also be interested in the Cincinnati group. Under the old Yahoo system, everything was its own little island.
Right.
Now on the site, you know, there's all this interpenetration. We have well in excess of 800 groups right now on the site.
Yes, we do.
Having coded most of them, I know that.
Yeah.
And we're expanding. We just started doing various – obviously, this is a huge project, and none of us are working full-time on it. And it's evolving as things go. We, for instance, have a global structure in the groups
mm-hmm.
where we've got the six various continental areas, and then each of those is broken down by countries. Now, some of the countries, U.S., Canada, Mexico, we have all of their states or provinces set up with their own group. And then we have subgroups beneath those groups if people come in and want. Again, in the case of the U.S., we have lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of city groups.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's obviously if you're in Ohio, you might have 4 or 5 city groups under Ohio. We just started doing that with India.
Mm-hmm.
We did that with the U.K., and we're just now starting to do that with Russia. Now, we've had this whole Russian paganism, which is up and coming, and there's bands and a really old tradition, which is it seems to be remarkably pure.
Mm-hmm.
But it's coming out of the more obscure parts of Russia rather than out of the cities. Obviously, this is where it would have survived. I'm forgetting now there's two. Kind of middle of the Soviet Union, the old Soviet Union, big areas, and one of them, and both of them have polar bears on their symbol.
Right.
And one of them's got two polar bears holding up a crown, another one's like a polar bear standing on a shield, which gives you an idea of the kind of the nature of these places. But these are the ones where we started because the person who's in charge of setting those things up has said, well, this is where we've got people from.
Right, and I believe her name is Zara.
Uh-huh.
And she's like the first of it. And she likes Witch School. She likes the open system. And she's presenting her ideas. She did some like band tapes. And voila, you've built a structure under this new program where under our old program we would have been scattered out. Now everybody's able to focus on helping grow Russia and India. We just had that wonderful set of news stories for Swati and Ashtoreth that they had. And this article had all these comments about Witch School. One of the things that you showed me, this change has helped out, and I should say thank you, Anna Rowe and Wendy, who helped me at the beginning of this, and Carla, who helped me at the beginning of this, is that basically we saw a chart. Anthony presented us a chart on Friday morning. We had our Friday morning, once a month meeting in person, and Anthony showed us a chart from his analyzer, Google Analyzer. And the amazing part for me is that the result, it was easier for us to tell you which countries we had not gotten traffic from than what traffic is. With 16 countries in the Middle East and Asia we were not in. Everywhere in Africa, everywhere in Europe, every part of North America, every part of South America, Australia, we had gotten hits. And I thought that was pretty amazing that everywhere, there isn't a part in the world except for 16 small countries that we didn't get hits from.
Right.
And that ties into this idea of all these geographical groups. People are asking me, well, why do we need a group for the middle of Africa? And I said, we might have people there. And that's one of the things about the Internet and the hub that you created.
Well, I've been trying to make something that would be genuinely global.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I've been encouraging, and we've been having some, obviously, on your end, for instance, of tech issues about getting into Second Life.
Right.
One of the things that, from my previous experience in Second Life, it's not good enough to hold one. Now, we've got this wonderful classroom in the center that we've built there.
Right.
And it's not good enough to hold one class. You want to hold three, maybe five classes in
right.
shifting them around the time zones. And so we would have one that would be good for the U.S. and South America, one that would be good for the main part of Europe. Because we're so active with India, we'd probably have one there, and then one that would be good for Australia and Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And ideally, my vision on this is that we would have a class of the week, but present it five times on Monday through Friday, and each of it being some evening in one time zone. And again, this Second Life is only about 30% from the U.S.
Right.
And so when you're producing things in Second Life, you're producing it for a truly, truly global audience. And I've been trying to keep the website in a similar feeling that it's not just, it's coming out of Chicago.
And that's something, yes, and I agree with you 100%. It's never been simply a local site or even a local or one tradition site, though we're heavily Karelian. We also are open to all these other ideas. And now, basically, I've got a few more minutes left. Why should our students and members be getting involved with us and helping us with the social side? One of the things I hear is, do we need more people? Is it because of popularity? Is it because of money? Is it because we are doing it? And I keep trying to explain to them, and maybe I'm not getting the right thing, that it gives you more ability. It gives you the chance to be able to interconnect with people more. And I'm artsy and fartsy in that aspect, huggy. We all want people to connect, relationships. But from your point of view, why is it important that these young pagans who are going to be our next leaders learn this stuff with the Internet and not think of it as their hostile enemy?
Wow. I've been, as you noted, online for so long.
Right.
It's really is an alien concept to me to not be on the Internet. And as things evolved, for instance, Twitter, we're now putting a Twitter feed out there with announcements for, well, like for instance, this radio show went on. The announcement for this radio show went out earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
And when Twitter first came along, I wasn't impressed at all because most of the people who were using it were people that would normally have been blogging 80 times a day.
Right.
And it's like, I'm waiting in line for the sandwich. Will this line move?
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe that attitude that Gal had about the and then, oh, my God, they put too much mayo on this thing. I mean, this was the basic in the first year of Twitter. This was what you were seeing.
Right.
It's evolved so that all of the movers and shakers from the virtual worlds have been using it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's expanded out to almost everybody in the area of social networking is using it. And I end up getting incredible data flows off of this every day. As I said, an example is Mitch Kapoor, who is one of the funders behind Second Life, who had, was the founder of Lotus. He's constantly on there, and he's posting the stuff he's reading on the web. And as I said, it's like standing behind Mitch Kapoor's shoulder and looking over his shoulder at what he's reading on the screen.
And that's a wonderful ability. And well, just
for people just using this, it's a way to... You're not just dealing with somebody down the street from you. You're not dealing with somebody across town from you. You can be into a significant interplay with people all over the world.
And let's talk about something that I think that you're right. Like Twitter did something amazing with the Iranian revolution
mm-hmm.
that's sort of covering it, and social media in general. The more our community, in this case the Witch School community and the larger pagan community get involved with this, the more likely the next time that a major discrimination situation happens,
right,
the next violence situations, the next time we have people breaking up a festival or doing something crazy, we have a lot more chance now of actually knowing what's happening almost from zero time, right?
Certainly, and especially – now with the capabilities of phones to record video,
mm-hmm.
you know, as you said, somebody breaking up a festival, you'd have, you know, 80 people shooting the video and be able to have that up on the web within minutes.
And I guess one of the things that you and Anthony and then Tony's joined in the team and Marianne and all of us we're working to do is that if there's not a place where you can get this feed, it doesn't really matter that 80 people took that picture if 80 people can't reach all the other people that need to know.
Right.
And that's what was happening on Witch School, wasn't it? That we had all these great things happening. But last year...
All off in their own little corners.
They're all off in their own little corners. And then by bringing in the Ning Hub and a hub in Second Life and a hub... You know, with the Witch School, you know, basically with that sort of Ning as a hub, if something like this happened, you know, we can use Twitter, we can use our Blog Talk Radio, we can get the message out pretty quickly now
right.
to a lot of people.
Well, you saw that Twitter, that Ning is installing a Twitter-esque function this month.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about some of the things that are going to come. They talked about Twitter for what will be the Witch School site. We will have our own internal Twitter, right?
Right.
And
I'm not exactly sure how that's, you know, I sent you the Ning development blog article.
They're promising it in September.
And, you know, it's I'm not exactly sure how that's going to play out, but it's going to be available. And, you know, it's fascinating because the level of connectivity that's available out there is remarkable. And I'm always bookmarking things and needing to get back to them. AT&T, I believe it is, has a new piece of software that they're pushing.
Right.
Which is going to let you pull together all of your social media things into one framework.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody posts something over on LinkedIn, and somebody posts something over on Facebook, and somebody posts something over on Twitter, and somebody posts something on one of the various Ning sites.
Mm-hmm.
It would all come through one window, which is pretty remarkable because I spend a lot of my time flipping between. I think I counted up the other day how many tabs I had open in Firefox, and it was 37.
Okay. See, and that just boggles my mind and everything else. Now, one of the things you Yesterday I asked one of our older mentors to move, instead of taking up a more mentoring role, to actually become our online resource trainer. Her name is Reverend Sarma, and she'll be working with you to help you, you know, to help you get this across. Because I think one of the things that Brendan gets frustrated with, he really, Second Life, is passionate about. He's a passionate man about this. But I do realize that there is a big gap between our training right now, what people are used to, and what we're trying to do.
Right.
And so we're assigning Brendan a number of people you'll be hearing about who are going to help him get the message across about how to use the better parts of the site. Because did you know everybody could share their every blog that you do on Witchcool could be shared through your MySpace and your Twitter? Just push the share button. I found that out a couple of weeks ago. I was like, oh my gosh. Delicious.
Which makes it very easy. It's I've discovered that with my book reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from reading as much as I do, I write a 500 to 1,000 word book review for every book. And now when I put them on library thing, I'm able to do what you just said. It's a one click, and it's off to Twitter. One click, it's off to Facebook.
And some of the other sites as well. So we're going to try teaching people more about how to use this stuff. And if you know anything about this, we have Tony Jenkins, who's in charge of our social network team. We actually are trying to put together a team of people to help with this side. Because at the end of the day, one of the things I think Brendan would agree with me, it's a lot of fun when it's in good times. It's a lot of help when it's in good times. It's really useful in good times. But if you don't have it before you used to have a bad time, you're going to wish you did.
Yeah.
And this is something that we're doing. I mean, right now we're doing it because it is a very useful tool. You want to learn it. But if you ever think that anything good and bad happened to the pagan community that everybody needed to know, the very network that we're building will be one of the fastest ways you'll find out.
Yeah, it will. It will be a – well, we are also talking about moving to a lot more multimedia and having a lot of live information coming on the site.
And we have live information right this minute.
No, I was just saying, obviously this radio show is the first step in that direction. And we are slowly developing systems that will be pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Not that many months down the road.
And you've just been started at, just to let people know how big of a change has been. You've only been at this, what, 3 months?
Or 4 months, yeah.
4 months, since March. And
That file here, and we started right at the end of March.
And everybody loves your charts, Brendan. I must tell you, everybody is incredibly excited about your daily. Brendan does charts of how our memberships are going and everything else. So Brendan has been this really kind of information font. So if you ever get a chance to go out, you should meet him in Second Life. You should check out his profile on Witchcool. That's Excatos Graves. And join his Second Life group on we have it on our site at Witchcool.
WSINSL.
And you can join that, and we're featuring that group right now. But you really do want to get involved. But, Brendan, how would they find out about you, separate of the Witchcool? How can people track you down? They want to look up your
– I actually have – I was hoping to have it – I haven't pulled the tarp off of it yet, but I have my own Ning site, which is btrip.ning.com. Which is pulling together all of my various blogs, etc. And the one thing I've been waiting to do is I've been planning on shooting some video blogs and having them on the front page, and I just haven't gotten around to sitting down and doing that to the level that I've wanted it to be. And I'm waiting I was actually hoping to do that last night, but I ended up coding some of the site instead. And when that's up, that's going to be there's a lot of stuff there. It just looks a little empty because the front page is waiting for these videos to come in. But it's btrip, B-T-R-I-P-P, .ning.com.
And I'm so grateful for having you. We have less than a minute to go. I wish I had more time. There's so much I could still talk to you about. But everybody see it. Brendan is one of the great architects who's helping us move our site forward. Thank you for coming on, Brendan.
Problem.
Like I said, he's really much there. Check out what we're doing. It's amazing. If you want to support Witchcool, become a member. It's really that simple. $5 a month, $19.99 a year, $99.99 is the best deal. And tell your friends about what we're doing. Tomorrow, Don's going to be hosting, and Thursday is Marianne Appreciation Day. And on Marianne Appreciation Day, I want people to call in and tell us what it is. If you're hearing this in archives, give us a call tomorrow at 347-308-8222. And this has been Ed the Pagan wishing you a blessed day. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, Ed.
And we're off the air. Hey, all right.